Morning Asbury family, Scott and I.
Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with you today. It is a blessing to be back here in our beautiful sanctuary. We want to take a moment and thank our members of the Altar Guild and the other volunteers that came in last Sunday and really made this place beautiful as we continue to walk together through the Advent season. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague Dee Dee Roberts will be along shortly to deliver today's message. We're moving into the second week of Advent as we move closer and closer to the manger and to the arrival of a Savior. We are also in the middle of our Pray It Forward stewardship series, so this morning you will hear a wonderful devotional from Mary and Scott Noble talking about what their life of faith at Asbury has meant to them. But before we get started with worship this morning, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity to gather together as your beloved children, some together here in person, some in a virtual space that through the miracle of technology and through your grace, we are able to connect. We ask this morning that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, God, that you are with us, that you lead us and guide us, whether it be through the scripture or the message or the songs or the prayer. May you work in us the transformative way that you call us to be so that we may better be for the world Christ's image for all who need it. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Good morning, Asbury family. Scott and I are very excited to be here with you this morning. Due to the wonders of the internet, we are actually talking to you from Marietta, Georgia. And we are so excited to share with you our faith journey at Asbury and what Asbury has meant to us over the years. Moving here in 1986, we were looking for a church and had visited several churches, and probably the day that we visited Asbury, we looked at each other and we said, this church is so friendly and everybody is so welcoming, and we could really feel the Holy Spirit moving at Asbury and said, this is going to be our church home. And over the years, we have had many happy times. We've had some sad times, we've had struggles, but Asbury and the community of faith has always been here to support us. We have seen our two young daughters grow up to be strong, faithful women, start their own families. We now have grandchildren at Asbury that are starting their faith journey, and we even now have Scott's mother, Bev, here that is continuing her faith journey at Asbury. And so we're very proud to be a family that has four generations of members at Asbury United Methodist Church.
When we first moved here, we knew nobody at all in Little Rock, and the Emmanuel Sunday School class buttonholed us and would not let us get out. They forced us to come, and they became our family for years and years. And we have had members celebrate, and we've had members pass away, and we have always been there for each other. And that is truly God's intention, that you can't be a Christian alone. And we have found that in our overall Asbury family, as well as our Sunday school family.
And even though it's difficult to maybe fulfill our stewardship obligations as far as our times and our talent right now, we look forward to the day, hopefully in the coming year, where we can all be back together. We can participate in United Methodist Women, Sunday school, choir, men's Bible study, all of the activities that we've been involved in the past.
I'd like to share a Bible verse. This is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mary and I plan to support Asbury Ministries and the Asbury Mission in 2021 with our time, treasure, talent, and prayers, and we invite you to join us in that journey. And 2021 is going to be a good year for all of us.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be here this morning, as Brother Nick says, to be in the sanctuary, to be with all of you, to be in the presence of beautiful decorations and wonderful music, all of which draw us in and prepare us to hear these words from Mark's Gospel, beginning with the first verse of chapter 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our Lord and our Redeemer, and it is to you that we look for refuge and peace. Amen. One thing that did not change this year, and that is that stores began putting out Christmas decorations before the Halloween candy had all been clearanced out. And like most years, I walked past the aisles of red and green, pushed up against the black and orange, and thought to myself, I just want to get through Thanksgiving. But then again, I have to admit that this year I was not nearly as disgusted as I have been in the past. For even though I wasn't ready for Christmas, I took strange comfort in the assurance that Christmas would come this year just like it had in the past. No pandemic or recession or arguments on Capitol Hill will be able to keep Christmas away, because Christmas comes and it has nothing to do with us. A much higher power has made the decision for Christmas, and time is moving closer and closer to it. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. With this rather blunt statement of purpose, Mark begins his gospel. Here there are no angels, no birth story, no shepherds or wise men. Mary and Joseph don't even appear for several more chapters. And then it's to try to get Jesus to come home and stop making trouble. No, Mark begins his gospel with a declaration that probably should give us goosebumps every time we read it. This is the good news. Now, Mark's audience was used to hearing good news. The Roman army was always winning a battle somewhere or putting down another insurrection. Announcements of their victories were called gospel, or in Latin, good news. So for Mark to begin his account of Jesus by claiming it as gospel means so much more than we might have guessed at first glance. Mark declares that this is gospel, that something has shifted, and while many miss the tremor, the earth has moved. Good news. Real good news is not about the power of empire. Good news is now about a man called Jesus, a local kid, the chosen and anointed one who is the Son of God. He has come to save his people. Now, if we're listening, and I mean really listening, we might be tempted to giggle at the ridiculousness, the absurdity of Mark's claim. Good news that doesn't come from yet another battle on the front. Good news that is not a process of legislation. Good news where there are no winners and losers. No, this good news is attached to a name that we know. And it's not a Roman name or a Greek name. This time, the good news comes in the form of a Hebrew name, Yeshua. God is salvation. He is the good news about how God saves. Yeshua. He will set us free and give us life. This is gospel. And with this simple sentence, Mark recreates the world. Gospel is about God and God's work. Gospel is good news that gives life. Gospel is about the Messiah, the anointed one, who does not come from the throne of Caesar and power, but comes from the throne of God in sacrifice and servanthood. Caesar is not God. Caesar, in whatever forms he takes, is not good. The oppression and violence, the suffering and loss of Caesar's reign does not give life or peace. Mark has put a stake in the ground, a marker that cannot be missed or moved. This gospel, the gospel, is about Jesus. The good news is God's to proclaim. Caesar cannot control the good news. He will not be able to stop its spread. And even if he tries, the power of God's will win over Caesar's power of division and hate. With this stake in the ground, with this blunt statement and declaration, the world is being turned aright. Now, I happen to think that that is what John the Baptist was preaching when he came quoting Isaiah before him, calling out both a warning and an invitation. God is coming. Prepare the way. Make a straight road. Set up viewing stands. Clean up the parade route. Make sure that people are ready. John's preaching in the wilderness reminds me of advance teams for political candidates or celebrities. He came first to make preparations and stir up the crowd. His message inspired people to believe again. His words and his presence woke them up to the possibility that God would act. And you know, when you hold out that possibility to people who are waiting and wondering, they respond. They respond with excitement and hope. Now, it may be hyperbole on Mark's part, but he says people from all over the Judean countryside and everyone in Jerusalem listen to John. They confessed their sins. They repented and turned toward God and away from Caesar. They were baptized with water that washed away the old perspective and cleared the eyes of their hearts to truly watch and see and recognize the work of God in their midst. Now I know Christmas decorations in October are not exactly the same thing as John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. But they are an important reminder. Christmas is coming. Whether we are ready or not, Christmas will come. God has decided that. There was a lot of discussion in the media this year about when was the appropriate time to decorate for Christmas. I think the pundits finally decided that after a year like 2020, if putting up the lights and decorating the tree early made you feel better, then do it. Even in October, even before Thanksgiving. For the lights remind us of a light that cannot be snuffed out. And the ornaments with all those stories attached to them make us grateful for times past and hopeful for good times to come. The nativity scenes ground us in the ancient story of the birth of a Savior. And holiday music, both hymns and songs, remind us to keep our hearts open and our minds fixed on something that is beyond our daily troubles. All of it, whether it went up in October or sometime in November, or whether you're still trying to pull it all down from the attic and get ready, all of it is part of the preparation. The opening of our lives for salvation to come in, for healing to happen once again. Even Christians must be reminded that our hope is not in a perfect world or a new president or a growing economy or the gifts we buy or the number of people who gather around our Christmas table. Our hope is in Christmas, the anniversary of God's life-giving invasion into our world. And the time for celebration is coming closer and closer, and nothing else matters in the world except Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. Christmas is God's choice. Christmas is the sign that God has never abandoned us and never will. And Christmas comes because God's love is greater than all our sin. God's love is more powerful than anything else we can imagine or name. Christmas comes, whether we are ready or not. And that, my friends, is the good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray together. Loving God, we pray today for a sense of your presence among us as we bring our prayers and requests to you. enable us to open our hearts and minds to you. For we know that you understand our worries and our fears. And so we can pray, trusting in your willingness to share our concerns for ourselves and others. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we live our lives as if you are not coming again. Help us to let go of the control that we grasp after, and instead be watchful and prayerful. Open our ears today to hear the challenge of John the Baptist, that we might make our lives ready for your coming, that we may be a people who boldly make the crooked straight and the rough places smooth, so that all may know your love. Heavenly Father, our world is facing enormous problems, which are so big that we cannot easily imagine how we could live at peace. Global pandemic, terrorism, economic crises across the globe, environmental challenges, poverty and suffering are beyond us to bring to an end. All we know to do is to pray for those who have no daily bread, and to be humbled when we seek to possess more than we need, when so many have so little. Oh God, when we are faced with a world which are full of such problems, of such enormity, help us to fall before your throne, not in surrender, but to allow you to empower us and work through us to bring salvation as you have planned. Oh Lord, we pray so often for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. So we ask that you reign in our lives so that our faith may flourish and grow. In the midst of the rush of life, help us to find inner quietness and an awareness of your presence, so that this Christmas time we can concern ourselves not so much with presents, but rather with our spiritual blessings. And finally, Savior, we pray that your blessing would be upon all those who are in pain or sick this day. We lift to you all those who are troubled and anxious, knowing that you are always present, even in the darkest of times. So please sustain our friends Clifford Smith and Jesslyn Sinkhorn, June Glazier and Nate Hill, Craig Cogbill and Jan Mead, Wesley Mead and Gwen Thorne, Marty Gassaway and Kelly Ponder, as well as those who are on our hearts, or those whose names we speak aloud now, wherever we are. In this time of suffering, draw them into your loving arms and help their hearts to be lighted with the power of your presence, that you might bring hope and healing to whatever circumstances they are facing. And finally, oh God, we catch up all of our prayers and say together the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us join the Livers family, Nick, Amy, Bella, and Sadie and Ira, as they light our second Advent candle.
We're listening along even in this strange mess where we live these days, and we want to do it right. We want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and to prepare for the company that will come.
The prophet Isaiah reminded us that there is work to be done. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When God comes in, then healing is to be found. But we need to make the way. We need to open the door into our lives.
So we light these candles as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us and that we can clear the way for that God to come and dwell with us. We light these candles in faith that Emmanuel is coming.
O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Well, friends, I pray that this time of worship has been powerful for you and that you have felt the mighty presence of the Lord. A big thank you to our musicians today. That music was wonderful and beautiful, and we just thank you so much for being with us. Before we leave this morning, I have just a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. First of all, we are offering communion today at 1 o'clock. For those who are able and comfortable, we will have communion on the south lawn. All you need to bring is a lawn chair and a mask, and we look forward to seeing those of you that can make it. We will try our best to Facebook Live that service for those who are not able to make it. If you are going to choose to go that route, just have your own communion elements ready at 1 o'clock. We'll also offer a Zoom communion tonight at 5 p.m. for those that wish to do it that way. Check your Asbury 5 Things email for that Zoom link. Also tonight at 7 p.m., we will have the second part of our series, Birth of a Savior. Tonight we will talk about Mary and Joseph and the angel Gabriel. We hope that you will join us. That premieres at 7 p.m. on our YouTube channel. And finally, we are still in the midst of our blanket drive for our Stone Soup mission, which is on December 27th. One of the things we like to be able to do this time of year is offer blankets and hygiene products and other items to our friends that visit us at Stone Soup on that Sunday. So if you are able to drop them off, you may do so contactless. Just drop them off outside the office doors. Let us know you've done so, and we will come and gather them. As we leave this space this morning, hear this benediction. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you. And may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace.